Signs of weakness just as the Fed decides what to do next.
Don't miss the numbers, the news, and Kai's final note. Subscribe to the Marketplace Podcast. Find it on iTunes or online at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, hello, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Midday Update for Wednesday, the first day of May. And today, the payroll processing company ADP said just 119,000 jobs were added to private payrolls last month. That is the fewest in 7 months, and it was below expectations. David Kelly is chief global strategist with JP Morgan Funds, and he is with us now to discuss. Good morning.
Good morning.
So, David, weak job performance last month, it looks like, from this ADP number, just as the Fed is wrapping up its meeting in Washington to decide what to do next in terms of pumping money into the economy.
Yes, and I think these two things are connected. I think that the weakness in the jobs number from ADP, a lot of manufacturing indicators that we're getting from regional PMI indices, and also the weakness that we're still seeing in Europe, I think all of those will keep the Fed in a very, very easy mode. I don't expect any change in direction this afternoon.
Did you ever think 5 years ago in the crisis back in 2008 that in 2013 the Fed would still be stuck in its historically low interest rate policy that it put in place during the crisis?
No. I mean, if you like your Fed over easy, then I guess this is the policy for you. But it's as far as I'm concerned, it is really surprising. Back in 2008, we had a huge financial crisis, and the Fed acted very appropriately in emergency measures to deal with that. But you know, today we've got an unemployment rate of 7.6%. The economy is gradually healing. It's not as fast as we'd like, but it certainly is not a crisis economy. And yet we've got the most aggressive monetary policy in place today that we've had in any of the 100 years that the Federal Reserve has existed. So I think the policy is inappropriate. And no, I didn't think we'd be here today, but we have a very, very dovish Federal Reserve.
And you think they're going to stick with that dovishness?
I think they will. They certainly will in their statement this afternoon. I think later on this year, they will have to ease off a bit. I mean, they can't just keep on adding $1 trillion to the balance sheet every year, because first of all, it really limits their ability to tighten policy when they need to. And there'll come a time when they actually need to raise interest rates. And if they keep on adding to their balance sheet, it's a little bit technical, but it's going to get very expensive for them to raise interest rates. So they're really limiting their ability to maneuver in the long run. And to be honest, I don't think these low interest rates are really helping the economy that much in the short run.
David Kelly, Chief Global Strategist with JP Morgan Funds. Thanks as always.
Anytime.
Well, today is the deadline for students to lock in a spot at their chosen college by plunking down a deposit. And for many state universities, an increasing number of those students will be coming from out of state. Gigi Duban reports.
In-state tuition at the University of Wisconsin-Madison is just over $10,000. Non-residents pay $26,000. In spite of that, out-of-state enrollment there keeps growing. Joanne Berg is a vice provost at the university.
So even though we're seeing pretty much a significant growth in the interest in international and out-of-state students, we really are looking at enrolling as many Wisconsin students as we can.
She says the University of Wisconsin has a cap on its percentage of out-of-state undergrads. But that ceiling did go up this year from 25% to 26.5%. But the risk is shutting out low-income students. Bradley Kurz teaches higher education at the University of Missouri. Kurz just did a study on the topic.
So we sort of expected that if you bring in more out-of-state students, you're more likely to be bringing in more wealthy affluent students. And we find that finding pretty strong.
On the other hand, he says, a Midwestern school like Wisconsin almost needs to look out-of-state to diversify its student body. I'm Gigi Duban for Marketplace.
Show Marketplace how much you like us. Stay connected to our hosts, reporters, and top stories on Facebook. Find us at facebook.com/APM Marketplace.
There is a film festival going on in Austria right now, and one of the films is a smell movie. John Lawrenson reports.
It's a big tomato ketchup smell. Red screen, white screen. Smelling a movie called Noise. The I is in brackets. It's a movie for the nose.
There's a dung smell coming in. Well, that's doing that.
As colours flash up on the screen, a smell projector blows odours in and out of the room. It's a big machine, cost $260,000 to build. Artist Wolfgang Gorgsdorf built it.
A smooth, gentle cake of air moving slowly through the room, transporting little compartments of smells.
There's been smell at the movies longer than there's been sound, since the scent of roses was wafted into a theatre where people were watching newsreel footage of Pasadena's Rose Parade in 1906. The difficulty up till now has been that smells linger. You end up with a sick-making mix of smells in the air and maybe a pile of scratch cards on the floor. Geyser Schoen is a German perfumer who's created fragrances for some famous French fashion houses. He created the smells in this smell movie.
So you can have different smells in a row, changing after a few seconds, and they don't overlayer. That's important.
Smells, says Georgsdorf, take us back to the time when being able to smell the tiger when it was still a long way off was a matter of life and death.
And you have got one called Death, yes?
Round the back of the smell projector, Georgsdorf's assistant shows me the smell source chambers he's filling ahead of another movie performance. For Hollywood, maybe one day soon, these could be powerful storytelling tools. In Linz, I'm John Lawrenson for Marketplace.
And finally to New Zealand, which has just updated its list of names that parents are not allowed to give to their children. Majesty and Queen Victoria are now on the banned list. So are V8 and Mafia No Fear, as well as the backslash symbol. I'm not sure who would ever choose that. Anyway, these rules started after a judge said the parents of a 9-year-old had to change her name from Tallulah Does the Hula from Hawaii. The judge also scolded the parents of a kid named Number 16 Bus Shelter and the twins Benson and Hedges. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.